Come on, God is good. He's worthy of our praise, amen. He's so good. God is so good. And He's so for us. He's so for you this morning. I see faces that I haven't seen before and some that I haven't seen for a while. And it's just good to be together, amen. Those watching online, I'm glad you're with us. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and we talked last week about thanksgiving and the giving of thanks. And the giving of thanks is not an optional thing for believers. We're supposed to live out our lives in thanksgiving. So turn again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I just want to say this. The election happened this last week. And there's many people who are yelling, yay! And there's many people who are going, oh. And as Christians, whether you're yay or right? I think it's imperative for us to begin to pray for unity for our country. Amen. Unity for our country. And look at, all of us can have an idea of what the truth is. But we as Christians have the ability to go to the Word of God and find out what God's truth is. And the Bible talks about some people whose minds have been blinded. And so our prayer for them and our prayer for our country is, Lord, unveil your truth to all of us, me first. And then to even those who don't know you yet. Amen. It's still our job to proclaim the kingdom of God to come into the hearts of men, women, and young people. Amen. So anyway, just in the light of the election and we still have a job to do. We have a job to continue to pray. And by the way, I've heard this said, and I will get into the message. I've heard this said about Washington State. And even recently I was at a retreat, and there was a minister who was ministering. He was ministering. He's from Oklahoma. And he goes, man, I know it's tough up here. And I thought to myself, well, okay. But the reality is we've been called here.
Right.
Right? And yeah, you know, there may be some things that aren't right that's going on in our area, especially Western Washington and Oregon and in California, whatever. There may be some things, but I'll tell you, the righteousness of God is here. Well, let me say that over here. The righteousness of God is here. How do I know that? Because you're here. Because I'm here. And I'm not going to acquiesce and just let darkness roll over me. I'm taking a stand where I am. And I'm believing God that light outshines darkness. But if I become bitter toward the darkness, I'll snuff out the light that I have to bring to the darkness. Are you with me? Come on. So anyway, we're standing for our country. We're standing for our city. We're standing for our state. Listen, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. First Thessalonians, and this is the key verse that we're using for this month. In verse 18 it says, in everything give thanks. In everything. Again, this is really deep and heavy. But in the Greek, in everything means in everything. There's nothing outside of everything. There's nothing outside of everything. So in everything, give thanks. And we talked a lot about this last week. Even when things aren't going the way we want them to go, it's still up to us to give thanks. It's up to us to have the right things in our mouth. Because the things that are in our heart come out of our mouth. And if we aren't filled with thanksgiving, then we'll establish things on the earth and in our own area, right? That will cause us to eat fruit we don't want to eat. Thanksgiving, listen, it is an absolute testimony of your heart that you know 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 that God is on the throne. And that He's not against me, He's for me. Now look at, I don't understand everything that goes on in my life. I have a lot of why questions that could come and plague me, but I refuse to go there. I said, I refuse to go there. Why? Because the overwhelming thought in my life is there was a day when Jesus came into my heart. And when He came into my heart, my life changed forever. I remember it so clearly. And the feeling and the experience of His heart coming into my heart. That has never changed. However, I can let my thoughts take my feelings to places that they shouldn't go. And I need to go back to that spot and say, I thank You, Lord. I remember the day. I remember when You found me. I didn't find You. You found me and You brought me to Yourself. And I can be thankful in the position that I'm in because I'm with You. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what's happened to me. Doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Your kingdom come to me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go to the Old Testament and look at this story because I think it speaks to Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving in the New Testament, it means to be grateful. It means to feel grateful. You can say thank you without feeling grateful.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you can just mouth the words. Oh, thanks. I'll just give you an example. I did this last week. There's degrees to thankfulness. The first one was, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Right? You said the word, but your heart's far from being thankful. Right? And then you go, well, thanks. I really appreciate that. And then there's the level where your heart has so been touched. Maybe somebody comes to you and gives you a word or pays off a house or pays a bill or does something and you go, you don't understand what you just did because I was praying and this happened and I got to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you. So there's degrees to thankfulness, but we have to keep our heart in a grateful place. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Let me just tell you this, and we will get into this in just a second. But I was dealing with somebody this week, and they were so distraught about some things. And tried to pull them in and out of that depressive state. And one of the keys, I think, to it is to have a list of what you're grateful for. Because all of us have something to be thankful for, right? You drove here today, right? And we have clothes on. Thank you, Lord, right? I mean, God has given us food to eat. We can be thankful for something, but we have to be thankful on purpose. And if it's hard to be thankful because you're overwhelmed with all the bad, I suggest you get a list together. And begin to force and discipline yourself to speak that list. Not just read that list, but speak it to you over and over and over and over again. Because I want to be grateful, thankful in all things. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. We're going to read this and then we'll comment on some things. Many of you know the story, but just bear with me. It happened after that the people of Moab and the people with Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea and from Syria. And they are the Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand there is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Wow. Wow. Okay, I'm going to go on. I could stop, but I'm not going to. And now here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession for which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? Will you have no power against the great multitude that is coming against us? Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, with their wives and with their children stood before the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Go down tomorrow against them. They will surely come by the ascent of Ziz. How do you like that name, Ziz? And you will find them at the end of the brook where the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Come on. Who is the Lord with? Come on. He's with his people. He's with his children. He's with us today. And what I want to talk to you about is a battle plan for victory. A battle plan for victory. Thanksgiving is the language of victory. Let me say that again. Language is the absolute, Thanksgiving is that language of victory. Why? Because it speaks to our faith. Faith, what do you mean? Our trust in God. Jehoshaphat, when he was coming and he was coming before the Lord, he was reminding the Lord of who he was and what he'd done for them. And then he was saying, Lord, if you don't step up here, all's lost. But even we're going to come, even if all that happens, we're going to come back to the house of the Lord. We're going to come back to the temple where the presence of God is. In those days, the presence of God dwelt in a building in Jerusalem. And you had to go there to be in the presence of God. But today, you and I don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to come to a building. All we have to do is get on our knees or just give our heart before God and say, Lord, I know that the Spirit of God lives in me. And according to Paul, I've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's praise is present in me. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, your first place to go to is not necessarily the counselors, and I love counselors, and that's all good. Not necessarily the doctor, and I love doctors, and that's all good. Not necessarily your pastor, and I love your pastor. But watch this.
We love you.
Watch this. The first step is to go, God, you dwell in me. Again, Lord, I remember the day when you came into my heart. I remember when I began my relationship with you. And you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I just believe that. So, Lord, with this pain I'm going through, with this loss I'm going through, with this physical, with my kids not acting, I'm just coming before you now and I'm thanking you, Lord. I'm praising you, Lord. I want to acknowledge your place in my heart and in my life. And I may be going through grief. I may be going through pain. I may be going through all of that, but that's all temporary. But Lord, I am firmly placing my trust in your presence, that you're with me and you're going to show me the next steps that I need to take. Are you with me? Okay, let's look at this now. In verse 18, it says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed." I love that. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." Worshiping the Lord. I'm going to go through a few definitions in these next few verses to get the point. When Jehoshaphat bowed before the Lord, and it doesn't say he was on his face, but he was bowed before the Lord. And his example as a leader, it caused all of the people to bow before the Lord. And it said they worshiped the Lord. And the word worship here is interesting because it does mean to bow down or to bow low, but it's the significance of saying, "Lord, you're right. Everything you say is right. Everything that you do is right. So in my life and in my heart, I'm bowing to you." But that signifies not only that I worship you like in a song, but my life belongs to you. And what does that mean? There's a cry of, "Lord, my flesh doesn't want to, but I'm going to be obedient to you no matter what." See, worship means I'm bowing before you and your will for my life, no matter what that looks like, no matter, I refuse to let come out of my lips grumbling and complaining because God, you're God. And I worship you because you are the one that put the stars in place. Who am I to even question you? Who am I to even say anything against you or And I'm not saying, Lord, that you're causing this or anything, but what I'm doing, Lord, is I'm bowing before you in worship. See, that's the first place. That's the place of hearing. Of hearing. That really is the place of repentance. In other words, if my attitudes or my actions or my thoughts are wrong, Lord, I want them changed to your thoughts. I want to act like you want me to act. See, that's worship. It's we can do that here, and I'm so proud of our worship team, and just proud of all the things they put in. I'm just so grateful. But that's not worship if you haven't worshiped first.
Come on.
Are you listening to me? And all of us can do that all the time. Lord, I just put myself in your hands. I just bow before you, Lord, and I just say, have your way. So that's what Jehoshaphat was doing right there. Verse 19. Then the Levites and the children of the Korahites stood and praised the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. These were the praisers. You know, David had it set up in the temple where, you know, he had a heart for worship. And never before had this happened anywhere in the world, but he paid people for 24 hours a day to worship the Lord and to sing praises to him. And he wrote all the book of Psalms, him and a few others, all the book of songs to give praise unto God. And there were people that 24/7, that was their job. That was their job. Right? And so that's the people that we're talking about. But it's interesting, but the word praise here means to boast. It means to boast or to be boastful. So you're being boastful about the Lord. You're taking the Lord at His word and His promise, and you're beginning to boast about it. Ooh, God, I'm just, God, You are who You say You are. God, You'll do what You said You'd do. I'm bold and I'm, Lord, I'm making a stand. I'm praising You. Declaring that is who You are. That is who You are. My circumstance don't dictate who You are. What I'm feeling doesn't dictate who You are. Who You are is who You say You are. And so I'm going to boast to the Lord and about the Lord in the midst of my circumstances. I'm talking about victory. Listen, I know all of us have gone through stuff. And sometimes the stuff seems to get really high. But in the midst of the stuff, if we begin to worship, and in our worship, when we've submitted to God, begin to boast about who He is. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. We're on our way. We're on our way. Look at, really, think about this. In the presence of God, there's a place where His presence comes on you, and it seems like you're in a cocoon that the outside doesn't really matter. Many of you have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it because it just makes sense here. When I was going to school, I worked for 7-Eleven for about 3 months, and I worked from 11 o'clock at night till 8 in the morning. And I'd been in school studying the Word, and we had this book by Judson Cornwall, Let Us Worship. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard that book, but Let Us Worship. And it was all about worship. And I'd been in it and studying it. And I, all night I'd been worshiping God, even in the freezer when I restocked things and refrigerator. I was just worshiping God. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, a guy came in, and I was over, where the coffee was, and that those days there was hot dog rotisserie thing, and I was over in that area, and I said, just a minute, I'll be with you. And I walked over there, and he had a big overcoat on, and he reached into his coat right here, and he pulled out this pistol and put it in his pocket, and he says, give me all the money. It looked like a toy pistol to me, but I don't know, it looked like a toy pistol to me, but I'm telling you, I was in the spirit. Because I've been worshiping God. He said, give me all the money or I'm going to blow your bleeping head off. And I just stood there and he did two things. And he said, give me the, and so we're just standing there. And I just thought, well, and really seriously, there was no fear in me whatsoever. Not an ounce, not a bit. Why? Because I'm a strong guy. I'm Superman. No, none of that. It's because I was in the presence of God. And here's the verse that came to me. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going to blow your bleeping head off. And we stood there. It seemed like minutes, but it was only seconds. And so I thought, well, this isn't working. So I started to step around the corner, go around the corner. I don't know what I was going to do, but around the corner. And then he ran off. But here's the point. Here's the point. The point is, in the presence of God, in the place of boasting about Him, there's a peace that passes all understanding. Right? And if that peace is gone from us, I just suggest that we really aren't fully captivating the fact that He's with us. And that we're in Him, but He's in us. Some of the things Donnie quoted earlier out of John 17, I read that often and just go, Lord, this is too good to be true. Because Jesus said the same glory that you gave me, I give to the same glory, the same glory. As you're with me, Lord, and I'm with you, I want them to be with us, and we're in them, and they're in me, and it's the same. Not a different one, not a less one, but the same. Verses like, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Dwells in you. So when we're going through things, rather than focus on the things, we just have to remember and boast about the promise that He's made to us. I may be dead at the end of this conversation in that, you know, in that room, but I don't care to be absent from the body. This world is not my home. So watch this. Verse 20. Listen to this. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and went out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God." I want to tell you right now that that's the same message to you this morning. I don't care what you're going through. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe that He's with you. Believe that He's for you. Believe that He has a plan for your life. Believe that He has an eternal destiny where you're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. Sometimes circumstances and voices and situations and feelings begin to speak so loud, it drowns out the true cry of our heart, which is, Jesus is Lord, and God raised Him from the dead. I just love this. Oh, hear me. Oh, a new beginning. And you inhabitants of the Kitsap Peninsula, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. Come on, come on. Now watch this. And when they consulted with the people and appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, they went out before the army and they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. It's interesting because it says, as they went out before the army, watch this. And going out to sing, who should praise the beauty of holiness. That word praise there is halal. And what it means is to sing hymns unto God. And I'm not going to have time to go to, but in Acts chapter 16, when the Paul and Silas were in prison, they were beaten and they were put in at midnight, it said they began to sing hymns. The hymns, a lot of theologians believe, and I think it's true, and the hymns that they were talking about here can be found in the Psalms. Specifically the Psalms 113 to 118 and Psalm 136. And the basis of those Psalms are, Lord, you did it before, you'll do it again. Yes. Right? I'm condensing a lot. But if you did it before, you'll do it again. So my praise, I want you to go out and sing praise, but I want you to go out from this basis, from this foundation, from understanding that if He did it before, He'll do it again. If He did it before, He'll do it again. Even if they slay me, just like they raised Jesus from the dead, God is going to raise me from the dead. Come on, come on. Again, it's halal. It's singing worship unto God or bringing the Psalms to life. Now watch this, because this is interesting. It said, who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out and the army saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." That word praise there, the second one is not the same as the first one. The second one is yada. And yada means to throw out. Yada means to throw out thanksgiving, throw out praise, throw up worship. In other words, Lord, I'm throwing myself in your presence. I'm throwing myself to you. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord, that just as you did in the book of Acts, in the book of Psalms, in the book of First Chronicles, the book of Kings, the books of Judges, the book of Exodus and Genesis, you'll do it again here, Lord. I trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what am I saying? I'm saying that thanksgiving and the life of thanksgiving, based on everything that we've said now, is your key to live in victory outside of the circumstances that you find yourself in. Right? Come on. I've known people who I've been believing for to be healed and they've died. That's not defeat.
No. Come on.
Let me just tell you this story, and then we'll get back and I'll close. Many of you know Barbara, and Barbara fought cancer for years and years and years. Beautiful lady. She's a good friend of mine. Well, we'd seen miracles, we'd seen things happen, just incredible testimonies. But she was, they were living in Missouri, and the Lord sent me out to them. And I went out, and because I knew she was struggling. It was really funny because she was incoherent when I got there. But when I got there and came into the room, her eyes opened up and a great big smile was on her face. And her daughter-in-law said, "She hasn't smiled in days." Right? That just touched my heart, and I threw that in. But watch this. Watch this. So we're taking her to the hospital in the ambulance. She was on hospice care by that time. And we got to the ER and the doctor came in and the doctor said, why are you here? And I think he assumed that I was the husband, but I wasn't. Galen was actually in the car coming later and he was doing some things before he got there. So I'm here with this ER doctor and he said, "Well, look, she's in renal failure. And I got to tell you that of all the ways to die, that's probably the less painful. And we could do some heroic things right now and probably bring her back and get that infection out of her. But the good chance is that even if we do that, the next thing is going to be much more painful than this." And I said, "Oh, okay." So I have to face Galen. And I told the doctor, I said, "Well, listen, I just got to prepare you that they've been believing God for a miracle. And this is, you know, this is their heart. And so, and Galen can be kind of testy. I'll just put it right. A little testy." And so I was kind of preparing him. But then God just dropped this in my heart. And when Galen came and I took him outside and kind of explained all this. He said, but Bruce, we're believing God. And this is what dropped into my heart. I said, "Galen, you can die in faith. I said, you can die in faith." In other words, she's fought hard, she's fought long, she's tired, she's done. So believe that this isn't an end, this is the beginning of eternity forever. Right? So being in faith is the circumstances and even the conclusion, the temporal conclusion that you see on earth isn't the end. So in the midst of what we're going through, we can learn to be thankful no matter what the outcome is. Because at the end of the day, I have a home in heaven where the Father is waiting for me to dwell with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And if you get everything to quiet down enough, there will be peace inside, because that will bear witness with you, and you can be thankful in the midst of whatever you're going through. In Jesus' name, amen. Did y'all get something this morning? Right? Come on, come on, come on. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. I said He's worthy of our praise. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for not ever giving up on us. And Lord, for me personally, I just want to apologize for all of the times I've gotten so into myself that I forget about You. And Lord, this morning, right now, we just give You all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for everything that You've ever done with us. And nothing, this is not just a platitude, nothing compares with the fact that You unified Your heart with mine. Thank You for it, Lord. We just praise You and honor You in Jesus' name. If you're watching online, God bless you. If you don't know Jesus, open up your heart and just ask Him to come into your heart. It's like one lady said when this was her prayer of salvation, "Lord, here I am. If You can do anything with me, take me." That's all she said, but it was sincere, and she gave her heart to Jesus, and she's preached all over the world. Right? So all I'm saying is, don't worry about what you're like. Begin to find out what He's like. In Jesus'